Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
What we thought would be a good idea to do this morning is to begin to chat with some of the people who have been in our church long term. You know, we've obviously got Ryan here. He leads our youth. He's down from Myree, but we got my son Dave. He's grown up in church, amen, and he's grown up in a Christian family. We've got Jinky here. She's been in, you know, from the Gateway days many, many years ago. I can remember when her and Glenn first came to church, and David we've known for many, many years. So I thought it'd be just good to hear from these guys about what God's done in their life, what they're believing for our future. So I got a number of questions I just want to ask them, and we're just going to have a little bit of a chat. Is that okay? And we just, as we chat and as you hear their heart, I hope you catch a little bit of something that's in our hearts, amen, that I know is already in some of your hearts, and we'll get excited for the future of the Bunbury campus. So Dave, I just want to ask you, when we talk about the generations, when we talk about legacy, what does legacy mean to you personally this morning?
Great question, Pastor Steve. Legacy for me is about leaving stories that younger people in the future and the future generations can be inspired by, guided by, and look towards as an example. Obviously, they're coming into different times, as different ways of doing things, but these stories will be will bridge a time, and it will be inspirational for those young people. I didn't have the blessing of growing up with parents that walked with God, but I did have a grandma. Hallelujah. That's a word for a grandma in here right now. Amen. And, you know, this was no ordinary grandmother. She was Pentecostal Holiness Assemblies of God. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Ghost, tongue speaking, miracle believing. Hallelujah. When she was 14 years old, she got saved under the ministry of Donald G. in 1920. Wow. Now, if you're a young person, I encourage you to study the history of the Assembly, not just the Assemblies of God, but the old Pentecostal pioneers. Donald G. was known as the Apostle of Balance, and he was a contemporary of Smith Wigglesworth. And so in that little Assemblies of God church in Scotland, they had amazing ministry come through. Smith Wigglesworth preached there many times. The Jeffries brothers, I understand, George and Stephen Jeffries, who were saved in the Welsh Revival, subsequently baptized in the Holy Spirit and went on to be great pioneers in the Pentecostal world. I think that Stephen Jeffries actually prayed over and commissioned Ryan Habonkey before he went off to Africa. Howard Carter preached in that church, and he actually discipled, as I understand, Lester Summerall. And so, amazing, but my grandma, sometimes I just pause and I say, Lord, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. Yeah. I'm so grateful. You know, I picture her, I'm 12 years old, she's in the kitchen, she's stirring the soup. I didn't know anything about anything, but I hear her saying now, okay, we're living in the last days. We're in the time when men will be lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God. We're in that time now, people. Yeah. We're in that time now. And I remember her prophesying in the 70s. She prophesied, she said, God, against the Soviet Union in 1970s, when I was a kid, she said, God will bring that ungodly nation to its knees. And that happened. So I thank God, and people have told me, I remember Nellie, she was Helen, but they called her Nellie. Nellie standing in the town square witnessing, singing an old hymn throughout the lifeline, to witnessing to people, appealing to people to come to Christ throughout the lifeline, there's someone drifting away. Throughout the lifeline, there's someone sinking today. You know, I still believe that. I still believe it's all about the Word. And those old timers, they had stories, they believed in the blood. The blood. Young people keep preaching about the blood. And I'm so grateful for those stories that, yes, it's a different era, it's a different time. Some of the things, if we look back, we might think it's a bit quaint, but there was one mark of those people's lives. They believed that they were consecrated unto God. They were set apart for God. They weren't in the world. They were not of the world. They were in the world, but they were not of the world. They said, no, we belong to another. We belong to Jesus, and we are consecrated unto them. And I will always thank God for that example from my grandma.
Praise Amen. God. Praise God. So good this morning. And obviously, Dave, I guess your dream, your vision is to see that same legacy
Absolutely.
Happen in the future generations of
Absolutely,
your family.
Absolutely, Pastor Steve. Amen. You know, I want young people, in the future, if young people can look back when they're 40, 50, 60, let me use old Pentecostal language, should the Lord tarry? You know, when they're 40, 50, 60, 70, they can think back, I remember Pastor Steve, full of the joy of the Holy Ghost. I remember such and such, always on their knees in prayer, praying for the lost. I remember brother such and such. He was so sold out for God, and that's what legacy is for me.
So good. Hallelujah. Jinky, can I ask you a question this morning? I mean, what does it mean to you to grow up, or not to grow up, but rather to be in a house, amen, that believes in the generations, but more importantly, that has mothers and fathers that are raising godly children. And as a mother yourself, you know, with your husband Glenn, being in this community, what does that mean to you this morning?
For me, it is very important that to know that parents before me have trusted and invested in the community where my family and I are in.
Yes, amen.
It is very, it keeps me hopeful, a type of hope that that is coming from the Lord. Not that I trust the people or the material things only, but it gives me hope because I can see that the fruit of their, I am a witness of the fruit of their labor,
yeah.
That the talents, the effort, even the finances that they have invested have continued and have produced fruit.
Yeah.
And that says to me that whatever I put in, my effort, my time, my prayers, and even finances will also continue and produce fruits.
Yeah.
That all of this will not be wasted. And the generations to come,
yes,
which includes my kids,
yes,
will have access to it. And also, it will be used for them to grow in their faith.
Amen. It's just so powerful, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Just what God's doing. And you know, love the stories, what's happened in the past. But what we're hearing is that there's a future for our kids. Amen. And we're going to get to Ryan and my son Dave in a minute. But Dave, I've got another question for you. What does it mean to you to be in an environment where we're seeing young people coming in and getting saved, young adults,
yeah,
and see that vibrance of the youth around? What does that mean to
you,
as a more mature believer?
Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful because you know, we used to have a saying that the young people stop the old people getting religious. And old people stop young people. They help them set godly boundaries for staying on track with God. So I see we see this interchange of the generations. We feed off each other. As I look in this world that we're coming into, it's such a different world. Our young people today face challenges like, you know, we would never have thought of 20, 30 years ago. It's the same message, but we need a new way of communicating that message to a dying world. And so I look and I see our young people as to help us older, more mature believers, to give us a window in what people are looking for today, what the world is like out there today. So because whether we're 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever age, our mandate from the Lord is to continue to reach out, continue to show people and demonstrate the love of God and show that Jesus loves them and wants relationship with them. That's our mandate. But we need our young people can help us and help us understand what this world today is looking for, what their peers are looking for. And they're a window, but we can also be equipping them with these narratives and these stories and these things of what happened in the past, not to be relying on what happened in the past. We need that fresh manna from heaven today, but just really we can be inspiring them to go out there and to be talking to their friends who don't know that Jesus loves them. And that's what I'm so excited. There's two things that I really love seeing in churches. Is one thing is an older saint, maybe in the 70s and 80s, who's walked this whole life with her life with God, but is so on fire and loves God more than ever and the things of God. And I'm so excited about seeing young people that are so passionate for the things of God. And they're saying, like Isaiah said, the word of God is like a fire. It's like a fire inside my bones. I cannot contain it. Everywhere they go, they're like a fireball for Jesus. Praise God. And that is the things that it's so wonderful to see in this church. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. That, you know, that's one of the wonderful things that I love about Nations Church, that it's not just about, it's just not an old-fashioned church, or it's not just about all the young people, but we truly are, we're not just a multicultural church, but we're a multi-generational church. And you would have noticed this morning, we've had all sorts of age groups, you know, come to the platform, and all sort of age groups in our congregation. And the reason that's happening this morning is because that's, obviously, it's in the hearts of our senior pastors, Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee, but it's something that we believe in Nations, that every generation is important to see the gospel go forward. Amen. And so, Dave, it's kind of a little bit awkward because Dave's my son here this morning, but Dave, just thinking, what does it mean, or why do you think that it's important for you to be planted here long term?
So for me personally, yes, I did grow up in church, but to be really honest with you, I did walk away from God, and it's only been the last 4 months that I have come back. And so for me, walking back into Nations Church, I couldn't stand church, to be honest with you. I'd had enough. I was just like, you can shove it, honestly. But the thing that drew me in was the culture of this church. Yeah. And so for me, coming into a place like this, and in a sense more potentially the Myrie campus, and seeing people my age who had something more than just the Sunday get-together that was fun and exciting was just good, you know. Like, I was drawn into the culture long before I connected with God, you know. So for me to walk into that was just, it was incredible. And so, yeah, it's played a massive part. I mean, I've got a few points here. I'm just going to go through them. But the other one as well is that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has placed me in this church. You know, it's not just the come in, find Jesus, and just go sit at home and I'll read my Bible and just, you know, wither away again. It's like, no, there's a culture here that challenges you to grow and encourages you to grow. And I just don't want to be the same guy that just, you know, sort of floats, you're good, you're bad, you're good, you're bad, but you're actually growing. And there's a culture here which encourages growth together, and you can see it, you know, even in our young adults here. It's just exciting to see what's really taking off in this church, you know, and in other campuses. But and the other point I had was our present right now was a previous generation's future. You know what I mean? So right now is what they hope for, you know. And it's my responsibility and ultimately yours, but it's up to me to carry that forward, you know, because we don't just want to be a single service on a Sunday here. I mean, who cares? What if we get to, I don't know, I was about to say seven services, but by then we'll have a bigger auditorium, you know, but who knows what God can do in Bunbury, you know, and the culture we build, and not just our culture, that's influenced by God ultimately, is to, what's our mandate, you know, like that's what God's called us to do. And it's not just people coming together just for the sake of coming together. It's God working through people, growing the church. And because, I mean, who knows who's the next David O'Donoghue walking through those doors, you know, who'd given up on church and people and had enough. But from the people here and people I've known, it's changed, you know. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And can I add to that this morning, just as his dad, that is so exciting for me to sit here with him and hear him speak that, you know. One of the things that Dave mentioned there was that he said he connected to the culture way before, well, not way before, but he connected to the culture before he reconnected with Jesus. And so that to me really sends a loud and a clear message that what you and I do, what we carry in our lives is so important, because people are watching us. And they might be coming to church, they might not be saved, but they're watching us to say, okay, what is it? What's so different about these people? And I can never understand it, you know, how God has chosen to use me, to use us to reach others for the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm going to just sidestep for 1 second, and I'm just going to ask if anyone, especially maybe some people in the front row, maybe to grab some photos of us, of your mobile, or we haven't got an official photographer, but Dave, you could do that. Kay, family photos. Can I ask the same question for you as well this morning, Jinky? Why do you feel it important that you plant yourself here for the long term?
I do agree that it is very helpful to be to be in a church community long term. First, it helps us to know the church more. It helps us to reassure that this is where we want to belong, and would also help us to know that this is the community that we want our kids to grow. And second, if we're in a community of believers long term, it also helps our kids to develop the sense of belongingness. The church will not be strange to them. It they will feel that it is their family. Especially for us, we are immigrants in this country. It is, our families are very far from us. But knowing that our children in the future will know where they belong is such a relief. And lastly, it is also very humbling to know that we are being used by God as an instrument for Him to grow a church. Because as the church grows, there is a hope that this will be passed on to the coming generations.
Wow. So powerful, isn't it? From another country and left home, and now she's found a new family, and so that's just so awesome. And so, Ryan, just want to just ask you this morning, what does it mean to you to love the house of God generationally and to be in a generational church? Well, what are some thoughts that come to your mind when you talk about a generational church this morning?
Yeah, I think it's so important that we have a generation church, because if we look at the life of Jesus, for instance, Jesus' disciples were teenagers. He wasn't a 30-year-old walking around with 27-year-olds, something like that. He had teenagers that he was discipling. And that's ultimately what we need to be doing. I was a teenager, I came to youth ministry. In the video that they were sitting on the stairs, I got saved in that building, and I'm living out today, and I'm now a youth pastor over these teenagers. And if it wasn't for a generational church that Pastor Ken and Chrissy have, I wouldn't be here sitting here today. I don't know where my life would be, to be honest. So yeah, I think it's so important that we're a generation church.
Amen. And I think we saw that in the video this morning. All these young people, all those years ago, and today they're leaders in our churches. Amen. Dave, just got one more question for you. You've obviously grown up in church, and as you said, you had a period of time where you were away from God, and you were this is the weird part, I'm the dad, but you grew up in a Christian home, and from what I hear, you have amazing parents. but what legacy do you feel that's planted in your life? And also, what hope does that give you for the legacy of your kids going forward?
Well, growing up with Pastor Steve and Pastor Kay was a... in all honesty, I think for me, I'm now 31 in a couple of weeks, and I've got 31 years of a great example, So if for absolutely nothing else, through my stumbles and failings and falls in life, I've always had an example that I can reflect on and see. And I think that's, for my own story, coming back to God, that also played a part, because they were constant in what they believed. They didn't falter. They didn't give up, It's fair to say we've put them through hell. I'm not going to lie, we have, but they haven't used that against us. They were there with me through my struggles, my battles, my just dumb stuff, real dumb stuff. and because of that example, it then, once again, it's my responsibility for my own kids to set that example as well. And yeah, I've made my mistakes, but it's also God's a gracious God, and you can rebuild that, and it's up to me, so that when hopefully one day my kids can look back and say, oh wow, dad's followed hard after God, he's done his best, and that's from me, and my nanny just passed away. Set that for us as well, so, yeah.
Awesome, so good. I think the value of this morning is that we're hearing people's hearts. This is not just a gimmick. It's just not. This is what we do at this time of the year. But we're hearing people's hearts, you know. And we're in this time of building our future. And obviously, next week we're going to be, you know, taking an offering for that. But how many people know? It's way more than just a building. It's way more than just taking. You know, that's only just the small part of it. But the building of our future is the lives. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, this is my son with me up here, but there are many families out there this morning, you know, and your children are following you. And can I encourage some parents this morning? Maybe your kids are away from God. I remember saying, God, what's going to happen with Dave? And God spoke to me very clearly once. I won't go into the whole story, but he said, Steve, just leave him to me. And I remember saying, God, I'm just going to live. I'm not going to Bible bash him. I'm just going to love him. And I said, God, I'm just going to leave it to you. And today he's saved. He's back in church. He's in ministry. And so can I encourage every parent? Can I encourage every person this morning? Not just your kids, but your neighbors, your workmates. You are having an influence. Amen. And so we want a building down here. We're going to take an offering, but it goes way beyond that. It's people's lives being impacted for the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, Ryan, we're gonna have one last question. I want to, you know, talking about building our future. Why are you, I mean, you've been in nations for many years. Why are you so passionate about building our future?
Yeah, like I said earlier, like I was saved in a civic center. And if we were still doing church in a civic center today, like I can't imagine like the amount of distractions we would have, the amount of like just the kids ministry, it's growing but it's more space. So like for us, building our future, is not just about the money that's coming in for the buildings. It's actually for like the lives that we're transforming. Like it's like our mandate is lost, found, disciples made, nations reached. And I want to encourage you, like, yes, you're going to be giving money. Yes, you're going to be giving your finances. But like imagine if we didn't have church in a building today. Imagine if we were just sitting outside on the grass, or imagine if like we actually needed to actually strive day in and day out to actually just find a location that we can worship our God. Like, yes, our church has expensive lights. Yes, it has a stage. Yes, it has instruments and people here. But how good was worship this morning? Like, how good is a sermon every week? Like, we have this technology, we have a building, we have people in here that love God, and we get to freely worship our God. And I can imagine if we can do the same thing for this generation, for the generation that's going to come, for the generation we don't even see. Even imagine what we can do with our money for the current generation and nations that we haven't actually reached yet. Like, it's our finance, our sowing, like, everything comes in a seed form. And if we just give it to God sacrificially, like, imagine what he can do with it. Like Shannon was sharing today in our pre-service prayer, he can go further than we can think or imagine. It's our job just to give it to him.
Amen. Praise God. So good to hear from all these guys this morning, isn't it? Amen. I just got some closing thoughts, and I want you guys just to hang around with us just for a few moments. But when we talk about the generations, this is something that's very personal to Kay and I. You know, I shared in church a number of weeks ago that we have currently on just about every Sunday with our family, we have four generations of O'Donoghue's worshiping God in this place. My mum's here, Kay and I are here, Dave and Vanessa and sometimes some of their other kids are here, and we have some of our grandkids who are in kids ministry this morning. So for us, when we talk about generations, this is not just something pie in the sky. This is very real to us. And one of the things I'm believing God for is that our grandkids, our oldest is 14 or 15, and you know, they're all growing up, and in all likelihood it's not going to be that long before they're growing up, they're getting married. And I'm looking forward to the day when there's five generations of O'Donoghue's in this building. And not only just five generations of O'Donoghue's, but all you families out there this morning, that there's two generations, there's three generations, there's four generations of your family in this church worshiping God. Because that's what we're called, you know, we serve a God of the generations. Amen? That's who he is. You know, I think it's in Hebrews 13:8 maybe, or 11:8, or 8:8. 11, it was, Jesus Christ is God of yesterday, today, and forever. And so thank God for what happened in the past. Thank God for what's happening right now. But I am so excited. Kay and I are so excited for the future of our family. But not just that, we're excited about the future of this campus.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.